This is Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. A new math book, is hitting the shelves this week, and the cover lists pre-algebra topics like negative numbers, remember these, inequalities, exponents. But it also advertises advice on 20 ways to beat stress, a quiz on whether or not you pick supportive friends, and what guys really think about smart girls. Yeah, it's not your typical math book written by your not-so-typical math book author. It's called Kiss My Math, Showing Pre-Algebra Who's Boss. And author Danica McKellar wrote it just for middle school girls. And most of you know Danica McKellar from her role as Winnie Cooper in the hit TV show The Wonder Years. But she took a break from acting to study math, graduating summa cum laude with a bachelor's degree in math from UCLA. Gosh, I wish I was that smart. Since then, she's become an advocate of math education for young girls. A year ago, we talked with Danica about her first book, Math Doesn't Suck, How to Survive Middle School Math Without Losing Your Mind or Breaking a Nail. And she's back with us in our studio to talk about her new book, Kiss My Math, as well as her love for mathematics. Welcome back, Danica.
Thank you for having me back.
Remind us how you got interested. How'd you get interested in math?
In math? It's funny because in middle school, I was terrified of math. I would come home and cry. I was so afraid of trying my math homework. And I had a couple teachers who really helped me, just held my hand, made it fun, and I got better. And through high school, I really developed an affinity for it. And in college, although it's interesting, when I got to UCLA, I did not plan on being a math major. And when it was suggested to me, I remember thinking, math, college math, my God, that must be so hard. That's like for other math people. It's not for me. And the truth is, I had gotten the score of a 5 on the calculus AP exam, the BC one. So the hardest calculus exam, the highest score, and I didn't see myself as a mathematician. I didn't see myself. I didn't see that it was attainable to be a math major at UCLA. And why? I think because of the image I had in my mind of what a mathematician looks like or, you know.
And what a girl should become.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's part of what I'm trying to change is to let girls know you can be whatever you want to be.
1-800-989-8255. Talking with Danica McKellar, author of Kiss My Math, Showing Pre-Algebra Who's Boss. Your other book, the last one, was that an impetus for you to go on and write some Math Doesn't Suck, to write something next, extra after that book?
Well, I tell you, when I first got the deal for the first book, I never imagined it was going to do as well as it did. I never imagined my publisher would be beating down my door saying, okay, so this is a bestseller, so next year I'd like to publish the next one.
I wouldn't get excited about a book about math. Absolutely.
Right.
Why would a publisher come back and ask anybody?
Right. Well, I figured, I mean, they even said, look, it's about math, so don't expect a lot. You know, it'll help some people, and that's great, but don't expect big things. The next thing I know, I'm person of the week on ABC World News with Charles Gibson. So it was sort of not what we were expecting, but we were all really thrilled.
But, you know, that's the point. I think you've tapped into an audience. I think people in general are very interested in math or interested in science if you can get past the gatekeepers, if you can reach them directly like you do.
Yes, yes. And it's such a crucial time for kids, middle school and junior high. Kiss My Math is the next step up in math from Math Doesn't Suck. So Math Doesn't Suck is for ages 10 to 12, and Kiss My Math is more like 12 to 14. It's to help kids just get over that fear. Because at that age, kids are all asking the question, who am I? They're going through puberty. Hormones are changing. I mean, heck, The Wonder Years was about that time.
Right.
So we all know that's a crucial time in life where things get really confusing. And that's a time when these kids start to think, you know what? Math is for nerds. Math isn't for me. And I don't know who I am. I'm figuring it out. But I know for sure I'm not a math person. Mm-hmm. They get confused by math. They get turned off to it. You ask most people and they say, oh, I had this one test or this one experience and I never tried math again. Especially girls.
Do you have to try to pull it out of yourself, what you felt like at those ages, so you know how to write for these youngsters?
I think that's easy for me.
And I think it's because you've never grown up, right?
Well, perhaps because I never grew up. Also, perhaps because I lived that era twice. Once in my life and once as Winnie Cooper.
That's right. So you're still in touch with that part of yourself.
Very much so.
1-800-989-8255. Let's go to the phones. So Steve in Detroit. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Ira. How you doing?
Thank you. How are you?
I'm doing well. I would just like to say that is an awesome idea. I think most of the girls that I know are very capable of math, but they don't understand that they are.
Right. It's a missed self-conception. Absolutely.
All right. Thanks.
And I'd also like to say that Smart chicks are definitely hot.
Awesome. Yay.
Love I could get into a lot of trouble here, so.
Thank you.
I can't say anything. 1-800-989-8255. You said last time that fractions were the hardest thing for middle school girls. What's the next hardest thing that you could think of?
Well, so when I was doing research for Math Doesn't Suck, I asked all the teachers. So with like sixth grade, like what's the really hard thing? What's the stumbling block? And everyone said fractions.
Right.
Writing this book, I said, all right, for seventh, eighth grade, what's the hardest thing? And everyone said integers, which basically means negative numbers.
Mm.
So that is what I tackle in the first chapter.
And you call them mintagers.
Yes.
Instead of integers. Explain that.
Well,
I think integers,
right. That's probably the most boring term I've ever heard.
It is pretty boring.
It makes me want to fall asleep. Just yeah. Integers. What's an integer? It sounds so sterile. So I thought, okay, I can't possibly teach a chapter about integers because I will fall asleep. So I thought, well, what kind of analogy could I come up with? And I was thinking about combining integers. That's the hardest thing for kids to do. How do you combine negative 6 with 4, you know, let alone subtract 6 from 4, you know? And so I thought, well, how about like breath mints? And what if you had some really bad breath mints that tasted awful? You know, like those Harry Potter jelly beans that have flavors like vomit and dirt and stuff. So I said, well, how about if I come up with mintagers and you have positive mints and negative mints? These are the ones that taste good over here, like spearmint and peppermint, and the really bad ones taste awful, but they can neutralize each other. So if you have a positive 6 mint and a negative 6 mint, you end up with 0. You're back to neutral.
I see a candy line coming out here. Instead of a fashion line, a mint candy
line.
Yes.
Well, you know, anyway, mintagers seemed a lot more fun than integers, and the kids have to learn this stuff, so let's make it fun.
1-800-989-8255. Let's go to the phones. Joey in Hubbard, Iowa. Hi, Joe. Joy, I'm sorry.
Yeah, Joy. Joy is the emotion, right. Hey, I'm really glad to hear this topic. I wanted to know if you talk any about just the idea that we as adults need to honor the intuitive knowledge that children bring to the idea of math, of working in with mathematical problems. I think that too many times as teachers, I'm an elementary teacher in Iowa, and too many times we feel like we are all the knowledge bearers, and you know, we're the ones who, oh, you better follow this algorithm or else you won't be able to solve it. I've been a part of an initiative called Cognitively Guided Instruction in the area of mathematics, where we really try to honor the thinking that children bring to the table.
Absolutely, and that's part of what I want to do in these books is to go from the world that the kids are already living in and present math from there. And yes, be more creative and not so strict and not say, well, this is the one way to do it. No, maybe there's different ways. And let's make it fun and creative and make it feel like playtime. Because, yeah, kids, they need to be playing in order to learn. Even when they're young teenagers, they're not fully adults yet. They are 13 is not all grown up as much as a 13 would like to think they're
absolutely.
Grown up.
Oh, absolutely. You know very well that a 13-year-old, if you put him or her on a playground, they're going to be climbing all over the equipment.
Yeah.
So it's the same way in the area of mathematics.
Yeah, and I think that a lot of kids see math as the anti-kid feeling. They're, you know, they're going, oh gosh, math, that stops the fun, that stops the playtime. And I'm saying just the opposite. No, you can actually learn this stuff for real through playtime.
Thanks.
Well, I'm just finding that the children are so excited about math and they can problem solve even without having to you know, put it on the paper.
They can if it's presented in the right way.
Right.
Yes.
So, well, thanks so much for what you do.
Thanks, Joy.
Mm-hmm.
Have a good weekend. 1-800-989-8255 is our number. We're talking with Danik McKellar. Danik is author of Kiss My Math, Showing Pre-Algebra Who's Boss. And one of the main themes throughout your book, I guess, for teenage girls would be guys.
Oh,
you talk a lot about impressing guys.
Well, here's the thing. An epidemic for girls is dumbing themselves down. For guys or for their friends or to not stand out, because that's a big issue at that age. And I actually deal with that in one of the sidebars. I say, dumbing ourselves down, why is it so tempting? Mm-hmm. And I really had to sit down and think about this, because just about every woman I know has done some form of it at one time or another in her life, no matter how smart and together she is. And I think it comes to this. Women like to be liked like any other person. And when they see a guy feeling all good about himself because he's just shown off for them, there's a temptation to dumb yourself down and not know things so that the guy can show off more. And that's obviously a really dangerous pattern to start when you're a young woman, because then you're just cutting yourself down and being less than you are. And so the argument that I make is, look, you can actually be fully yourself and still let the guy impress you by asking him about stuff that you really don't know about, you know, instead of pretending to be less than you are.
On the other hand, you say, well, ask a guy to open a jar for you.
Well, yeah, there's that.
Isn't that sort of dumbing down a little bit?
Like, well, no, if you really can't open it.
Oh, I see. I see. If you really can't open it, that's sort of an icebreaker.
Sure.
Saying. Yeah.
I mean, there's in other words, I use that as a demonstration saying there are lots of ways to make a guy feel good about himself without having to dumb yourself down.
Mm-hmm. You think the surveys are showing that more and more girls are getting interested in math and doing as well as boys in math.
There is an article actually in the Science Journal about a week and a half ago saying that girls are scoring as well as boys now. It did not say that they are interested in math as much as boys. And it did not say that they are going into math and science jobs after
they're
they graduate.
They're scoring but not staying.
That's right. And I believe the reason why is because girls don't see themselves that way. Just like when I got to UCLA and I didn't see myself as a math major, I didn't think I could hack it. It's because of it's a misconception that I had about who a mathematician is and who a scientist is and who somebody is that can do math and science.
How do you change that self-image then?
My method is to write books that look more like teen magazines than math books and say, look at how girly math can be. It doesn't have a gender line. It's for you too. Math is going to make you, it's going to make you smarter. You're going to feel more confident because mm-hmm. you know how to handle a challenge and mm-hmm. really go for it and then become more powerful.
So you leave the girly part in there. That's a very important part.
Oh, sure. Well, I'm not going to pretend that they're not girly. I was girly. It's fun to be girly. And you know what? There's no contradiction.
Yeah.
Because someday I want these girls to aspire to be that fabulous woman walking down Wall Street with her 4-inch heels and a briefcase full of really important papers. That's the goal.
I saw that Pink movie. Some movie about that from Harvard. What's her name?
Oh, Legally Blonde.
Legally Blonde. You want to do that for mathematicians, well, what she did for lawyers.
That's an interesting, sort of, yes. sort of.
She was walking down the halls of lawyers doing that. Maybe you need
a movie
like that.
Well, you know, that's not a bad idea.
Maybe you need a movie about you as a mathematician doing that kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
Maybe we can get that interest going this hour. We're talking with Danica McKellar, author of Kiss My... We get 10%. Kiss My Math, showing pre-algebra who's boss on Talk of the Nation Science. All right, we're going to take a short break. We'll come back, take your questions, 1-800-989-8255. Also on Second Life, go to a Science Friday Island there and ask a question of my avatar, Ira Flatley, sitting there. So we'll be back after this break. Don't go away. I'm Ira Flatley. This is Talk of the Nation Science Friday from NPR News. You're listening to Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatley. We're talking this hour with Danica McKellar, author of Kiss My Math, showing pre-algebra who's boss. Maybe you've seen her on that terrific hit TV show, The Wonder Years, where she played Winnie Cooper. Our number, 1-800-989-8255. Let's go to the phones to Carol in Phoenix. Hi, Carol.
Hi. How are you?
Fine.
Hey, great.
Great. So I have a question. I have a son who is about 10 years old. He will be 10. He's just going into fourth grade. So actually he's 9 and a half, but he's really scared of math, but he really, really wants to get it. And the issue that I'm having with him when I'm helping him with homework is that because I'm his mother and I have a hard enough time as it is in math, he gets really frustrated with me because I can't seem to explain the process to him in a way that he understands. Yet he's trying really, really hard to get it. And last year he actually did, he won a little award for trying really hard to understand and get math, and he pulled his grades up on his own. But I'm wondering, you know, for a kid in that age range, fourth, fifth grade, mm-hmm. what would you suggest I do to help him further himself in math?
Well, the first book that I wrote, Math Doesn't Suck, is for ages 10 to 12, and it does, I imagine he's probably starting to learn fractions and things.
Yep.
Yeah, that's the first major stumbling block, and that's the first stuff really that I teach factors in the beginning of Math Doesn't Suck, which is a way of prepping for fractions, and that's exactly the time when things get hard. It's not unusual at all, and believe it or not, I mean, I wrote my books skewed a little bit more towards girls than guys, but tons of boys are using the book. I get emails all the time from them saying, yeah, I really like your book. I mean, it's a little bit girly, but I've been learning a lot of math, so. And a lot of parents who have been finding a lot of help through the books to help their kids, too. So it's
are there,
the books
is
are
there
very...
guides in the book to help parents, you know, who have kids that get... I mean, you know,
yeah.
He
oh no,
me
I have a troubleshooting guide in the back of the first book. Kiss My Math has a math test survival guide, which just helps to prepare for tests. And there's I've been talking to so many teachers and parents and students about what's really needed, and I'm trying to make my books as useful as possible.
Good luck. Thanks for calling.
Great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank
you. Do you answer the emails from people? Do you get emails from?
They get forwarded to me, and then I tag the ones from kids. I shouldn't say that. People are going to pretend to be kids. and then about once a month or so, I go through and I try to answer as many
wow.
as I can.
Wow.
It means a lot to me. I feel like I'm talking directly to the kids using the books. And I'm really touched when they write back and they tell me they're getting A's for the first time. They used to get B's and C's and now they really get it. Or, you know, girls write to me and say, oh, I feel so much more confident now. And it makes me so happy. I want to cry. it's everything I've ever wanted to do.
That's a good feeling, isn't it?
It is.
You're actually making a difference.
Yeah.
Yeah. 1-800-989-8255. Let's go. Lots of calls for Danica. Kurt in Portland. Hi, Kurt. Portland, Oregon.
How are you?
Hi there.
How's it going?
How's it going? Go ahead.
Great.
My question is I grew up in an environment of having to learn up to 12 times 12 by flashcards, and if I didn't know them, I was dead kind of thing. And kids nowadays don't seem to have to do that, you know, and like we're in a lumber business where we stack things a couple, six wide and nine high, but nobody knows that that's 54.
Wow, yeah.
They look at us, you know, we try to hire them, we want to give them jobs, and we just go, you can't you multiply, and they're like frustrated that we expect them to know that. And
yeah.
Do you think that the learning, going back to the rote memorization, so that you just absolutely 9 times 7 that perplex you.
Yeah.
I mean, I just did it
yes.
over and over
yes,
again
I...
so many.
All right, Kurt,
years.
we'll get an answer. Hang on.
Yes, no, absolutely. In fact, I mean, rote memorization isn't the only way to learn for everything, but something like times tables, absolutely. You have to memorize those, and I don't understand why the educational system isn't insisting on that anymore. I think part of it is because they're trying to get kids learning topics earlier, mm-hmm. and so they're skipping over the time it really takes to set the foundation, and you're not going to end up with more advanced kids. I know that the educational system in this country is failing us in terms of math, and I think that they're going after the wrong answers. Mm. After I finish writing books, maybe I'll go in and revamp the whole thing if I can.
Yeah.
But I feel passionately about that and about not allowing too many calculators at a young age, because that creates laziness as well. And that's what they're doing. The teachers, some of them are allowing the kids to use calculators to do their times tables. And this blows my mind.
There's just some hard work you have to do. You just can't
yes.
get around it.
Yes, absolutely.
You have to set the basics,
yes.
right? Yeah. Okay.
Otherwise, how can you reduce a fraction if you don't know what the factors are? This blows my mind.
It's like driving down with GPSs. You never learn where you're going. You know, all you do is watch the GPS. 1-800-989-8255. Ginger in Birmingham. Hi, Ginger.
Hi.
Hi, go ahead.
I was wondering if the author could talk about how math is a language, like the numbers are sets of symbols to manipulate, just like letters are.
Absolutely. Math is a language. In fact, it's the language of science. It is the way we communicate scientific ideas. And it's a very efficient language at that. In fact, there's actually a section in Math Doesn't Suck where I talk about the fact that math is a foreign language. And I think a lot of kids are confused by math because they don't necessarily have the best translator. And they sit down to class and they expect to, if they see something on the board, they don't get it, and they think they're never going to get it. And yet they would never sit down to Spanish class, look on the board, not understand something, and think they would never understand it because it's not presented as a foreign language. But you're absolutely right, it is.
Well, that turned me around in college. I was an English major, and someone pointed out to me, you're good at language.
Yes.
Why can't you do math?
Absolutely. And you probably didn't believe that because you were conditioned, like the rest of us females, to believe we're not supposed to be good at math.
Well, I read some math theory, which seemed really intimidating, and I realized, oh, I get this.
Yeah, see, good for you. All right. Love to hear
Thank
that.
You.
All right, 1-800-989-8255. Is our number. Let's see if we can get a phone call or two. Harold in Half Moon Bay, California. Nice part of the country.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I have a question. I have an older son who's taking algebra, and he's 15. And would he benefit from this book? And I don't know if he still grasps the concept, even though he's taken it in summer school too as well.
Yeah, the tough part about algebra is if you don't have algebra readiness, that's like an educational term, if you don't have pre-algebra down pat, you can't learn algebra because math is so cumulative, especially algebra. So I definitely recommend, depending on how far behind he is or how much help he really needs, Math Doesn't Suck will truly teach him proportions, ratios, things like that that you need in algebra. And then Kiss My Math is definitely something he should have because it teaches everything right up to algebra.
Talking with Danica McKellar, author of Kiss My Math, showing pre-algebra who's the boss. I mean, now that you've gone pre-algebra, there's got to be an algebra somewhere ahead.
There's probably going to be an algebra book, yes, I'm sure. Probably not next year because I want to take a little more time with it.
Tell us about your future. Do you want to stop writing for a while and concentrate more on acting?
Maybe a little. The truth is I just want a little breathing room before the third book, but there's a trilogy in my mind, and it ends. The algebra is definitely wanting to be born. I feel like these books are things that I've sort of bear as children.
There's a message in you. You want to get out.
Absolutely, and there's a lot of math in me too. A lot of things, a lot of tips and tricks that I've learned along the way that I love compiling and giving to these teenagers.
How did you pick them up along the way? Tips,
I
tips
have
and
truly been a nerd for as long as I can remember. I used to make outlines for all my classes and keep them from the years before so that I could refer back to them and like remember everything. And I just developed all these study tips. I've got this thing called the Math Test Survival Guide and Kiss My Math that includes something I made up called the Pretend Cheat Sheet and also the Quickie Sheet. And these are just tools to make studying for math tests much easier. I developed them through high school and college, but they apply to every age and they make it easier.
We have to give you the soon-to-be-made Science Friday pocket protector when it comes out. But no one has pockets anymore. That's the problem with these things.
Yeah, but does it work with Chanel?
We'll have to rethink this.
Does Chanel make one of those?
We'll make them. 1-800-199-8255. Let's go to the phone. Let's go to Julie in Phoenix. Hi, Julie.
Hi. My question is, I have a 5-year-old who's starting school this year, and she's a girl, and she's really interested in learning right now. And, I would just like to get her interested in math and science. Because for me, like you said, it's a difficult thing to do, and I totally agree with you. It's one of those things. I'm a girl. I can't do it.
Yes.
And I want her to start her off at a young age.
Okay, the most important thing you can do is not talk about the fact that math has been a problem for you. Another thing you can do is you can read Math Doesn't Suck and Kiss My Math and brush up so you do feel more confident. I have tons of examples in both books of how math comes into everyday life. And as she's 5 years old now, you can be pointing that stuff out. You can say, all right, well, let's make this cookie recipe, and it takes 4 eggs. But we only have 3 eggs, so now we're going to reduce the recipe, by 3/4. And I actually have that very example in Math Doesn't Suck. Do that kind of stuff with her. Show it in life on a regular basis. It's a great age to start putting that into her head now. And you can be a great role model. You can actually become competent in math for her. And show her along the way how it's used.
But don't make the mistake of trying to beat it into her, things that you said before.
No. Yeah, exactly. It's not about that. It's about it just coming up in life. Go to the store, shop for something, notice that there's a sign that says take an additional 30% off, and figure it out with her. Well, gosh, how much would that be? Make it conversational and fun.
I like the unit pricing method. How much per dozen and whatever. And
that's true. They actually have that in the stores now, and you can just point that out. You can just point out math to her in everyday life.
1-800-999-8255. Are there tips and tricks you would have liked to put in the book, but you just ran out of time, or anything you've thought about after you've done? Oh, I should have put that in there.
It's funny. When I was writing Math Doesn't Suck, there were some things that there wasn't space for, and they're in Kiss My Math. And when I was writing Kiss My Math, there were a couple chapters, actually, that I wrote that were just a little too advanced, and I realized, wait, this is algebra. Okay, so it went into the file that said, for the algebra book.
Where'd you get Kiss My Math as a title? I remember Kiss My Grits from that old TV show, but...
Well, we wanted it to have some irreverence, just like Math Doesn't Suck did, but we wanted it to be a little sassier, it's a little slightly older audience, 13, 14-year-old girls. And my boyfriend, I admit, he came up with both titles. He is excellent at that, and he actually designed the outside of the cover as well. He's my my marketing director,
very nice.
My personal marketing director.
Would Winnie Cooper, if she were still on television, be a math person now?
She probably would.
I mean, could you as an actress have that kind of influence on a character, do you think, with the writers and the producers?
Probably.
If you wanted to say, you know, let's put a little more teeth into this and let's show that, you know, actresses on TV can also be math.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on the producers, of course. It depends on the writer. Actually, it's funny. When I was on The West Wing, I was on there for an entire year, and Aaron Sorkin kept talking about how he was going to bring math into it. He never did.
You know, he brought as a political issue. I remember seeing West Wing. Mm-hmm. There was a political issue about health care that came up.
Uh-huh.
And we actually called West Wing and asked them if the writers would come on, and they said they would, and then they went off the air, and we didn't get the chance to do that.
Yeah.
But you're right. It does take somebody with a personal interest.
Yes.
Who gets it,
yes.
You know?
And I'll probably at some point combine more math and entertainment. I'll probably do, I don't know if it'll be a movie or what, but bringing math into more entertaining venues like you know, film, television, or theater.
Mm-hmm. 1-800-989-8255. Before we go to the break, let's get a call from Aaron in Inglewood, Florida. Hi, Aaron.
Hi there. Thank you for taking my call. I'm curious, do you have plans to your soon-to-be trilogy in a classroom setting, or to put together a program for students to be used by teachers to aid them in making math more fun for their students?
Good question. Can you make a teacher's edition of this?
You know, I've actually entertained a lot of those thoughts. I've been so busy writing this second book that nothing else has been able to physically happen. But I've been in communication with teachers around the country talking about what would be most helpful for you. What would help you use these books in the classroom? Because these books weren't made to be the primary textbook, more support material. And tons of teachers email me saying that they've already been using the stuff in the book and it's been helping. But I am going to look into possibly doing a teacher's guide.
Good idea. Well, we're talking with Danica McKellar, author of Kiss My Math, Showing Pre-Algebra, Who's Boss, on Talk of the Nation Science Friday from NPR News. I'm Ira Flatow talking with Danica. Do you see this as a winnable problem, you know, girls in math and changing the direction here? You think this, you're making progress?
Yes, I think we're definitely making progress. Winnable, that sounds like there's some sort of finish line. And I'm not sure how we would know when that finish line was crossed.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe, I have high hopes. I have high hopes. Women are intelligent and they're independent, and I think they want this.
Yeah.
I think they want this feeling of being more powerful in their lives.
Well, we're seeing more. I was recently at University of Chicago talking to the graduates and getting their PhDs in biology. There were more women biology PhDs than there were men. The medical school was graduating more women than men.
Mm-hmm.
So they're picking up on their math, and the culture is changing.
Yes. So biology, and those kind of those sciences are skewing more female than the math, engineering, computer science at this point. So I'm working on the math side to try to bring that along too, because that's considered the hardest, and women so far have been trained to believe that they're not supposed to be able to do the hard stuff.
You talked about not liking the way some of the calculators in their classes are being used.
Mm-hmm.
What about computers? Are they making any difference in teaching math, or are they not being used well, or might they be used better?
I'd like to find out more about how computers are being used in the classroom, because I'm not an expert on it, but I do know they can be a great tool, and they can also be a great way to cheat. So I don't know. There are programs out there that have the answers to the textbooks, and you can buy this program, and then it gives you the answers.
Right.
I don't know.
I think the jury is still out on how well computers are useful in classrooms.
Yes.
And there's some people who love them, and some people who think they're a nuisance.
Yeah, they're powerful, and they're being used for good and evil right now. So hopefully,
What about a computer disk version of teaching with this book?
Of Kiss My Math?
Yeah, or both of your books, and as teaching aids to, you know,
you've
to teach
them. You've got so many good ideas, a movie.
I'm in the wrong business.
Yes. Well, perhaps more to come.
more to come. That's right. 1-800-989-8255. Are you familiar? Somebody from Second Life, Metavalent, wants to know about MATLAB in seventh grade. Do you know anything about MATLAB? Are you familiar with that?
Is that a computer?
What if instead of memorization, we started teaching MATLAB in seventh grade, illustrating the relationships between applications for math in the process?
I'm not familiar enough with MATLAB to answer that question.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah, it is probably a computer program.
I think it is. I just don't know. Yeah, I just don't know what it actually does.
I guess, you know.
I'm a big fan of pencil and paper, though, I got to say. Pencil, paper, and the chalkboard.
Digital assistant.
Memorize your multiplication facts.
Right.
And then learn how to actually reduce a fraction. You know, understand that you're not making the fractions smaller. You're making the numbers smaller to express the same value. Like, let's really understand the concepts. And that's what I want to do in these books. It's, you know, that's why you don't, it doesn't need to be a computer program. It's in the book. It's right there. It's like, it reads like a teen magazine. And yet it gets to the actual core math ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And truly understanding this stuff is what we want. We don't want kids to get too hung up on test taking and just getting the right answer. I want them to really understand what they're doing.
And the good message that you have is we cannot go by the core. We need to stick with those core values and those core skills that you have to pick up.
Yeah, and you know, it takes a little more time to learn those multiplication facts.
We've run out of time. I want to thank you very much for taking time to be with us. It goes by fast, doesn't it?
It does. Wow.
Danica McKellar, author of Kiss My Math, Showing Pre-Algebra Who's Boss. And she, of course, if you like that book, if you want to get the book beforehand, she's also author of the national bestseller, Math Doesn't Suck. A legitimate author, you've got two books.
Yes.
Two books now. Thanks for taking time to be with us.
Thank you for having me.
Today. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk about traffic, from math to traffic. Wow. We'll see if we can ease up on the traffic as well as we've done on the math. Stay with us. We'll be right back. I'm Ira Flatow. This is Talk of the Nation Science Friday from NPR News.